Fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is David Ozzy Borge. Now, this feels a bit weird because over the time I've been on your show when you were a DJ, but now you're a headhunter.
I am. I actually have been for a long time.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that, but yes, I was moonlighting as a radio DJ. That's a lie. I was a radio DJ before I was a headhunter, but I found out very early on in my radio DJ career that it wasn't going to support my lifestyle. So I needed something else to make some money, and headhunting was it.
So you go around finding heads? No? What do you do?
In a sense, yes. I mean, not the actual physical head, but head is in a head count for a position in a career or company, that sort of thing.
So that's when, you know, people, you phone up somebody who's ripe for a position that you know is empty.
Ripe, good word, yeah.
Ripe.
You know. Ripe for a position.
They have the right skill set, whatever, but it's not
like a
CV factory. You don't do that kind of thing. Okay,
no,
so you find the right person for the right client.
Yeah, we'll look to find people who are really actually quite comfortable in their current position, but are open-minded about career opportunities, and we have a chat with them. We go through their skill set, what they're interested in doing going forward, and if it's a match with any of the roles that we are working on, we sort of start talking about that, and then we go through a process. It's great. You get to meet a lot of people, which is great. You get to talk to a lot of people from different fields, different areas. By the way, the name of the company is Big Wig Headhunters.
Big Wig
Headhunters. You've seen our logo.
Yeah, you've
got
the stag.
Yes, we've got a massive stag. It's pink as well, our logo, which is great. We love it.
But your music taste, I have to say, I know nothing. I know nothing on
You don't
this
know
list.
Any of these?
I think I know number two.
First and foremost, you're English, so that's probably obvious.
Yeah.
You know number two,
I know
so you don't know
the names of the bands. I've heard the names of the bands.
But the songs you don't know.
But we're not dissimilar in age, I don't think. So it's quite...
If you reveal, I will.
No.
Go on. No, don't be. Come on.
No, I'm 50.
Right, 47.
There you go. So we're not dissimilar in age. So it's quite interesting, but you grew up in Australia.
I did, yeah, which is a very rock-orientated market, first of all. But I didn't find music till quite late, to be honest. Yeah, I was the biggest, not issue, but I was and am still a huge sports fan. So my life was always, my time was always consumed by sports, either playing or watching. And so music was definitely a second or third priority.
Okay.
But then sort of like in my early 20s, it became more prominent in my life, yeah.
Because all of these, to be honest, I know because of T-shirts that people wear.
Yes.
I wouldn't say I know the song.
I'm so stereotypical, I know.
But it's you see these names on T-shirts. So the
first one
is AC/DC, Thunderstruck.
Mm-hmm.
Where, when, why, what, how does that...
I was sort of like 16, no, I would have been 17 or 18 at the time when that came out, and I was actually living with my sister at the time, and my sister is a wonderful human being, and she is responsible for teaching me how to party hard, so I thank her always. And I was living with her, and we were having some really good times, and it was the year the album The Razor's Edge came out, AC/DC, and this song Thunderstruck, if you probably know globally, it went massive, but in Australia it was like on the radio every 15 seconds almost. Yeah, it was like just a complete whitewash of this song, and so there are many good drunken times associated with that song, and hold some very good memories.
And it takes you right back there.
Oh yeah, good times. Good times.
We're gonna start off with that one. So a bit of AC/DC on Campus FM, Thunderstruck.
Yeah.
Now, this one, I think I know.
You know the band, but not the song.
I know, yeah. I Run DMC. It's tricky. I think I can hear it in my head.
They did a remix about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I think it was Jason Nevins did a remix of it.
So that could be where I know, though. It's tricky.
Yeah.
That, yeah,
Yeah, it's a really good tune.
Okay, I know that one. But Run DMC, kind of different genre.
It's rap, eh?
So
I like all
a bit of everything.
Because even like Bryan Adams, that's a. I don't really like the song, but it was that's based around a story.
So where does It's Tricky? Is that something you'd use, or is that just a memory of?
Well, no, it was just someone had gifted me a cassette of Run DMC, and is this where we're recording at the moment?
Yeah, we are.
Okay,
yeah.
Jesus,
so cassettes.
This was the 80s, man. And I had a yellow Sony Walkman. You remember the Walkman?
Yes,
right?
I do.
So I had this really cool yellow Sony Walkman, you know, one of the only cool things I actually owned. And someone had gifted me this Run DMC cassette. And It's Tricky was my favorite song, and probably still is to this day, my favorite rap song of all time by Run DMC. So I used to be just cruising around the school in between classes with my headphones on, just sort of jamming to Run DMC, and it was just good times, you know. It was super song, amazing song from an amazing band who are one of the pioneers of rap music, and yeah, it's really,
really
cool stuff.
So we're going to take you back to school now, and your yellow Walkman, It's Tricky with Run DMC.
This beat is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right,
on top.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Wait, here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky. It's tricky. It's
tricky.
It's tricky.
It's
tricky. It's tricky. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky. Tricky. Tricky.
Tricky.
I met this little girly. Her hair was kind of curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to leave her early. All they just say is please me, or spend some time and rock a rhyme. I said it's not that easy. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time is tricky.
How is it, Lee?
It's tricky,
tricky,
tricky. It's tricky to rock around,
to rock around.
That's right, on time is tricky.
Yeah.
Tricky, tricky, tricky. In New York, the people talk and try to make us rhyme. They really hawk, but we just walk.
Name of this band scares me a bit. The Motley Crue.
Motley Crue, yeah.
This is Shout at the Devil. I mean, hello.
This is another sister related story.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Okay, we've
so
the sister.
I have a few different people who have influenced my life majorly in terms of music. My sister was one of them in the early stage. She's older than me, so she's like 4 years older than me.
Okay.
So when I was like 13, she was 17.
Yeah.
She was a massive rock fan and, you know, a bit of a rebel. A bit is saying it mildly. And so she would be around the house, you know, with her hairspray 80s hair and her flannel shirt, you know, and dancing to all these, you know, at the time, heavy rock bands like Motley Crue. And she had just got the new album. And Shout at the Devil was one of the songs on the album. I think it was the name of the album as well, if I'm not mistaken. But super song. So I just remember loads of good times sitting with my sister, you know, her being a typical 17-year-old, me being a typical, you know, hang on to the shirt tails of your big sister kind of younger brother, and listening to Motley Crue. And it's just a... Motley Crue were a great band, you know, a good value and a super song this is.
And so this sort of, did you think you grew up faster because you had this time with your sister and her music taste was that slightly different age to you?
There were many reasons that I had to grow up faster, but this was one of them, yeah. Right. So hanging out with I had my own group of friends, don't remember, but I also hung out with my sister's friends and they were always at the house.
All these 17-year-old girls.
It was a shame, really. Totally disappointing and, you know, really...
hard.
Unfortunately, yeah, it was hard, really hard. You know, they'd be sitting around in just like the nightshirts and underwear. It was terrible
tough.
For me. Terrible, terrible.
Well, let's have a listen to this Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil, and I hope everyone enjoys it. Now, Metallica, I recently discovered these because another guest of mine who looks like an angel, you know, he's blonde hair, blue eyes, the works, and he loves Metallica. And I was just...
Why does that surprise you?
Because I just thought, when you see the name and you see the T-shirts, you have a different representation of what
the
music
is. Oh, so you think
they're
a bunch of devil worshippers, is that it?
That's the immediate... You know, they're,
God, you really are English, aren't you? My God.
But they're sort of... Yeah. What they project isn't actually what their music is.
No, it is. I mean, don't forget that Metallica are a metal band, so metal, the genre metal is all based around teenage and, in general, angst.
Yeah, so
it's, you know, it's all about anger and the system and all these kind of things. And Metallica were obviously one of the first major metal bands around. And if you just look beyond the brand, which is Metallica, the music is awesome. I mean, like, absolutely awesome. And for me, this song is like their Stairway to Heaven.
Okay.
You know, they have a lot of major hits, but for me, this is by far the best one. And again, when I started to get into Metallica, which is probably late 80s, this song was just one that stuck out immediately. It's like a 9-minute song or 8-minute song, and it's the guitars, the way the story is told as well, and the way it builds up. It's phenomenal piece of music.
It's proper. It is proper music, though. That's proper what you have music. To say. It's proper musicians. It's proper talent.
As they say in England, better than Blur.
I don't like all that kind of stuff, though.
I got to find out. Just tell me one song that you were into in your youth. Go on, one band.
I like Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight.
Oh,
it's my
great.
Absolute favorite
that's good.
Song.
Late 70s.
But everyone else I like is dead. I like Elvis and, you know, Julie London and, you know, Ella Fitzgerald. I like really, really old stuff, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Cool.
So I'm not.
Good music.
Very
good music.
Young. Yeah.
Very good music.
But, yeah, they're all dead, unfortunately.
Yeah. As will we all be
yes,
soon.
Yes, one day or other, yeah. So we're going to listen to Metallica one. We're going to try and play as much of this one as we can. Silverchair,
yeah. This is a very unknown...
Okay.
To anyone who's a fan of music but not particularly grunge, they might not even know who this band were. So there was that movement in the early 90s where grunge really kicked in, right? Obviously, the forefront, the leaders of that movement were Nirvana. But there are a load of bands that came out at the same time. And I told you that there was a couple of periods in my life where music became a central figure. And the early 90s and the grunge movement was definitely one of them. In fact, three or four of the bands that we'll play are all grunge related.
Because
for me, grunge is a genre of music that perfectly represents me. Okay, so this band are Australian as well, and I was actually I found out about them when I was already here in Malta, and a friend of mine, good friend of mine by the name of Seb, a German fella, he was well into music, and especially he taught me a lot about music through that early 90s. And one of the bands, he said, have a look at these guys, you might like them, and they were called Silverchair. And I bought the album Frog Stomp, and I think to today it's probably the album I've listened to the most over the years. And it's pretty hardcore grunge. Really love it, and this song in particular is excessively angry, and I like it. Love it.
But do you play it just all the time? It's just something that gets you going, or is it
lately I haven't. For a while I haven't been playing much of it, but there was a time when, yeah, it was just, I would listen to the album 2-3 times a day for a period of a few years.
Okay.
And then after that would be always my go-to album, because it just, you know, it sort of, I was going through a period where I was angry a lot. You know, people may know that I had some mental health issues. I still do. And, you know, I was going through a period where I was angry all the time, and it was sort of, brought me some peace listening to this music. Yeah, it was like I could let out some of that anger within the music, and it was really cool. They're a super band. I don't think they're not together anymore. They had a good, like, 6-7 year run where they got out 3 or 4 albums, and this is my favorite song of theirs.
So we're gonna play Israel Sun. But we are going to cut it before the end.
Yes, right at the very end, he shouts a naughty word that begins with the letter F.
There we go. So straight into that. Adams. I used to have a bit of a crush on Bryan Adams.
Those jeans, right?
Oh, man.
They were fantastic.
Yeah, just that, you know, yeah. So, Bryan Adams, again, another genre.
Yeah.
Completely.
Very much poppy,
and,
yeah, poppy.
Yeah? And heaven, what memories?
This was a little embarrassing, to be quite honest. So this was the...
No, that's okay.
One of my first ever girlfriends. I managed to get her by singing her this song. When I look back now, I think, geez, that was pathetic. But at the time, it seemed like a good idea, and it worked. So, yeah, I mean, Bryan Adams was huge, you know, mid to late 80s. He was top of his game, and this song was very romantic. So I decided to take the plunge, and it worked. And then the girl got to know me and broke up with me. But hey, we had a couple of dates, and that was a success in my eyes, all right?
So have you used that tactic since, or you didn't
not with that song?
No,
but yeah, yeah.
Different songs.
Yeah, each girl gets a song.
So you do, you still sing?
Oh, I did for a while. I do it at home, but my voice, my singing voice, to have a singing voice, you need to sing a lot and maintain it. So it's get a bit croaky these days.
Maybe that's a whole different thing. You do Italian pop because they like
that. It would help if I spoke Italian, though, wouldn't it?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
The music's a bit raspy.
I could do opera.
Now, last week's guest was... not last week, the week before, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She actually trains opera singers, so I can
put
you in touch.
Oh, lovely.
I'll put you in touch.
Does she work for free?
No.
It's worth
a try.
You
can do a swap. Maybe you can get her gigs and she
Well, it's worth a talk. It's worth a conversation.
And in the meantime, I'm going to listen to Heaven by Bryan Adams and try and imagine you singing.
Here in my arms, I find it hard to believe we're in heaven.
This is another one. No idea. Soundgarden. Is this a big band?
Oh, my God. How they even let you on the radio is beyond me. Soundgarden. Yeah, big band. They came out at the same time as bands like Nirvana and, okay. and Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. And specifically, the reason I fell in love with Soundgarden was the voice of their lead singer, Chris Cornell, who passed away sadly a couple of years ago, took his own life. He has probably got, in my opinion, the best ever rock voice in the history okay. of rock music. Fabulous band, fabulous artist. Again, there's a lot of grunge, a lot of anger, a lot mm-hmm. of, you know, a lot of stories to tell. And they told stories really, really well. And this is my favorite song of theirs.
This is Fell on Black Days.
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm. We'll have a listen?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. I do know Green Day.
Oh, thank God. My God. We found one.
Well, come on. I knew Run DMC. I know AC/DC, obviously, but, you know.
Okay.
So Green Day's Holiday. Mm. You chose that one particular?
I chose it because I think it's the message within the story. Now, Green Day started off, they've always been a relatively politically motivated mm-hmm. band. They always have strong opinions. They're a punk band, obviously. They're punk. It goes with the territory, being a bit political. But they sort of, at the very, very early stages of their career, they were, you know, sort of hard, fast.
Mm-hmm.
And as they sort of matured, the music matured with them. And when they released the album that had this song on it, Holiday, the album was American Idiot. It was the first album of Green Day. I just sat back and said, oh, wow, okay. They're real musicians now and real storytellers. And this song, hugely politically motivated, but for me, it's their best one, I think.
It's a good one.
The history, yeah.
And is it just takes you back to hearing the album for the first time, or it's got a something else? Another
no, just I was always a big fan of Green Day. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I would always anticipate and, you know, eagerly anticipate their new albums. And, you know, I was a big fan, and this was, you know, it wasn't too long ago. It was the early 2000s, I think, this came out. So,
it's 2021 already.
Yeah, but when you're your age, you know. So there's no real, I mean, the song itself, no specific memory as such, but just memories of enjoying the band overall, over a long period of time, because I follow them since their first album. So,
we're gonna have a bit of a holiday with Green Day. Foo Fighters, this has got to be the best name for a band ever.
Yeah, not according to their lead singer, Dave Grohl. Well, he just made it up for a bit of fun and it stuck. Yeah, he thinks it's a terrible name if you ask him.
I think it's really cool.
It's cool, isn't it? Yeah. It was something to do with aliens back in the day. So I think, I don't know exactly what the story was, but it was something to do with either the UFOs or something like that. Do you even know who Dave Grohl is?
I do know who Dave Grohl is, actually. He is. Didn't he die recently?
No.
Not the same Dave Grohl?
No. I wouldn't think Dave Grohl's a common name, so.
No, but I've heard his name.
Yes, he was the original drummer for Nirvana.
Ah. Uh-huh.
and then formed his own band after the death of Kurt Cobain.
There you go. He died. There you go.
Long time ago. Yes, Kurt.
Listen, these are your musical memories, not mine. We can do mine, and it'll be a whole different show.
That's very, very true.
It would be a whole different show.
We have to really dig the basement
out.
We
don't even find videos of the people I like. You know, that's how old they are. They didn't have film, I think, most of the time.
There you go.
So we're going to go with the Foo Fighters' Everlong. Why this song?
I just think it's the one that I connect with the most. I mean, Foo Fighters, I've followed them for a long time, and I follow them because I love their music, but more importantly, because I love the man, Dave Grohl.
Okay.
He's just an absolute legend, one of my favorite people on earth. And this song, when it first came out, there was a time when I would listen to it just over and over again. I mean, like hundreds of times in a row.
Okay.
When I feel, a lot of people will probably associate with this, there are certain songs that make me emotional. It doesn't have to be because of my own memories, but just because
the power of the song,
the power
or something.
Of the song, you know, the way it's delivered, you know. So it was one of those songs, and even till now, I have no problem sticking on Everlong and just putting on loop and listening to it ten times in a row.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's only one song that really did that to me when it was. Do you know that? Oh, gee, I can't even remember her name. But
Barbie
she,
Girl.
No.
No, that's not it.
No, I'm not that kind of girl.
Okay.
Just the Spanish lady.
There's quite a few of them.
Yeah, no, I can see.
Are we talking old Spanish lady, young Spanish lady?
Middle-aged Spanish lady, and it was only a couple of years ago it came out.
Right.
And I'll have to...
Camila Cabello, she's young.
No, I'll have to... She's... Bless her, she looks unusual. You couldn't work out...
Unusual.
You couldn't work out for the beginning if she was a man or a woman.
Right.
It took a long time to... And she starts to whistle. What's the song called? I'll have to look it up. It's on my Spotify thing.
Okay.
But that is the only thing I can listen to for repeated.
And what's the reason?
I just like it. And again, it's the lyrics. It's really sad and really painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't bring anything back to me. But it's just, there's something about her voice and the whistling and everything. It just really...
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Cool.
But do you like the words of a song, or it's music? Is it the guitars? Is it the whole shebang altogether?
All of it, yeah. I love the way it begins.
Mm-hmm.
I love the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
And I love the way how the song picks up
in
tempo, throughout. So, yeah, really cool.
We're going to listen to the Everlong by the Foo Fighters. So the last one on your list,
you won't
Dave
know who
Matthews
they are.
Band. I have no.
Again,
no
idea. Sort of alternative, a little bit, but he's very big in the United States.
Okay.
Very big in his band. And again, I was introduced to this person by, or this band by my good friend Seb, the German fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought over this album one day. He actually brought over a couple of them. He said, you got to check these guys out, you know? And I started listening to them, and some of the best music I've ever heard in my life. Yeah,
okay.
He's a extremely talented musician. He's a talented composer. He's a decent singer and tells a really good story. So it's very much guitar based. He's in one of the albums, which is called Crash. He uses I think about a band of say 20 people.
Okay.
So loads of different instruments and the stories. I just love him. I mean, you'll hear the song and you'll know, but this is this is a really great song.
And
there.
Do you? I know you've got this German friend Seb, but do you sort of have things? Do you go like searching on the internet and finding stuff, or is it other people recommending stuff all the time? Would you keep?
I got
to
be honest.
Go to record stores?
No, none of that. And you know, a lot of I did radio for. I only stopped recently, and I did radio for 25 years.
Okay.
A lot of people would think, oh, he must be really into music. But I'd be lying if I said it was ever one of my top hobbies. It wasn't.
Okay.
You know, my obsession with sports overruled everything. So I would spend, and a lot of people, like, I was supposed to go and see the Foo Fighters this year, but it was cancelled because of COVID. I've still got the tickets for next year, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But people say, so why haven't you been to more concerts? And the simple reason was that every time I traveled abroad to do something, it would be to see the sports event. So Formula One, football matches, whatever. I would go and, you know. So
any sport?
Any sport. Well, I like sport in general. There are a few I like the most. Football, obviously, rugby, cricket, and Formula One. But that's the reason why I was never really that much into music. So I was good as a radio entertainer. Well, good, some might say. But my I didn't have a great affinity with music. Don't get me wrong. I do love music and I've had some great experiences. Obviously. But it was just never something that I would wake up in the morning, oh, new songs, let me research what's coming out. I just, songs fell to me somehow and some of them stuck.
Because it's obviously different now to when we were growing up. Because it used to have to be. I remember when I discovered music through Dionne Warwick, and you'd see I saw her on Top of the Pops when I was 12, and then you had to find Dionne Warwick, and then she was with this old guy at a piano, you know, and you had to buy albums, and you had to wait till you could afford the next album.
You would only hear
it
on the radio, and then you'd have to wait for the album.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
yeah,
all of
different
that,
these days.
And then you discover, like, well, she sang with them, or she was in this band, or he was in, and you found it that way. But now the internet just seems to have made things easier.
Yeah.
I don't know if joy is there.
In some ways it's good, in some ways it's bad. I mean, the thing was, a band would release an album back in those days and you would get to know 10 or 12 of their songs. Nowadays, with things like Spotify, you'll search your favorite band and you only listen to the big hits.
One song,
The big hits, you know. So I think a lot of bands, their music is getting overlooked, or some of their music is getting overlooked. I mean, obviously, the bigger the band, the more likely some of the other songs will get a listen. But
yeah, I think I prefer the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am an old-fashioned kind of girl. And
so you were a record girl? Or
proper records,
then you moved into 8-track, or?
No.
Proper,
just very, very thick vinyls. I've
right.
got lots of very, very
And then you went straight to cassette, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, then it went on to cassette, right. with, like you said, the Sony Walkman, splash-proof.
It was, waterproof. It was waterproof, wasn't it?
It was the best thing ever.
It was great.
But yeah, I always remember thinking that if you fell over, something would really happen if you broke your Walkman. You
know, they were bulletproof, those things. You could run over them with a tank and it'd still be okay.
But now I've only recently discovered AirPods. So only now I actually listen to music while I'm walking or anything like that.
Are you sponsored by a certain product?
No, not at all. No, I wish.
Just wondering. Because you mentioned AirPods, and, you know, not just Bluetooth headphones, but AirPods. Fine.
I normally call them EarPods, so at least I got the name right this time.
There you go. I have a pair of Bluetooth, but something always goes wrong eventually with those things, you know. So I stick to the old-fashioned wired headphones.
The big ones. Yeah.
Not necessarily. Even my small ones, my small buds have good sound.
Okay.
But they're wired. But wired always gets you a better sound.
Do you listen to music a lot now still, or it's while you're working, whatever, it's just...
To be honest, not so much. I more listen to meditation music these days, just to stop me from murdering half of the world.
Okay.
I think that's a good thing. You know, dealing with my issues and so forth is good. I try to keep myself, because even work, I'm always busy and it's quite stressful. So I try to, when I'm doing some work, pop some very calming music just to keep me on a level balance.
Yes. Well, let's hope that... in the future, some of those songs make it onto your musical memory list. Yeah. So, thanks for joining me on this week's Musical Memories. Lovely to see you.
Next time I come on the show, I promise you I'll be a bikini model.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
To me, tie me up again. Who's got the claws in you, my friend? Into your heart, beat again. Sweet like candy to my soul. Sweet you rock and sweet you roll. Lost for you, I'm so lost for you. When you come crash into me, and I come into you, and I come into you.
Come crash into me.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.